as this person that music speaks to my soul, last night after we gathered for a time of prayer, as we were walking away and I was in the car, I sang, which some people would say I made a joyful noise. My husband has a beautiful voice, those who know him. I was given the gift of joyful noise and not afraid to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. There's a verse about seeing Jesus in a sunset. There's a verse about seeing Jesus as you have the water wash over and you feel the thundering motion of that ocean. There's a verse about Jesus hanging on the cross because he loves us. But the last verse is why I left singing last night. Have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst, seen the face of Christ on each other? Then I say, you've seen Jesus. Last night, as we prayed, we were sitting as a family, gathered in a circle, and we had Christ shining to remind each and every one of us that we are the family of God and God is with us. And that's what we are right now. We are gathered, Christ here with us. We've seen Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Last night as we gathered to pray for Tony, I was reminded that as we are a family of God, we had current members there last night. We had members who have moved on to other churches. We had community members that just love our church and love Tony. We had pastors from other churches. And we had people who don't live here anymore in Georgia and D.C. area and Albania, out in the ocean, setting alarms to pray for us and pray with us for Tony last night, praying all around the world. We are a church that is very relational. We are a family. We're one that understands that God is a God of relationships. Even though he is a God who created the universe, in Luke it says, indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. God knows us very well. He gives attention to the details of our lives. He gave attention to the detail of getting Tony to the hospital yesterday. He provided that miracle, and I claim it and proclaim it as a miracle. God gives us miracles daily. We need to see them and say, thank you, Lord. For those who read Tony's blog, or as Julie said, she shared last night, 3 days ago, these are words Tony posted. Do we believe that God can work similar miracles in our and other people's lives? Do we truly believe? Or do we surrender to whatever happens to be the inevitable? If you're in a marriage that is struggling, pray. If a loved one is seriously ill, fighting for his life in Fresno, pray. If finances are stretched, pray. If ministries are struggling, pray. Pray, pray, pray. If hearts are hardened, I forgot that part, towards Jesus, pray. Tony ends with Jeremiah 32:27, encouraging us from God's word. I am the Lord, that God of all mankind. Is there anything too difficult for me? Do you think Tony believes in miracles? I think he does. Do you believe that his desire is for each of us to grow closer to Jesus? I believe so. I want to grow closer to Jesus. Today we're going to explore what that means for us to truly give our hearts to God completely, to be in a relationship with the King of Kings. The King of Kings wants to be in relationship with us. Isn't that amazing? To fully give our hearts to God, we aim to have a whole life lived in that relationship with God. Now, most of us enjoy relationships. We love to talk to each other. We want someone to cry with. We enjoy laughing with each other. We want someone to care for and for someone to care for us. So if relationships are the main part of truly giving our heart to God, I believe that each of us is capable. So let's explore what it would look like to put God as the priority in our life. A priority is where we choose to spend our time, where we choose to spend our money, where we choose to spend our energy. And we need to be really honest about what we are doing and how we're giving our whole heart to God. When we are, then that relationship we have with Jesus will influence all of our other relationships. As we look to Jesus as our example, we see that Jesus' relationship with God was the source of his whole life. In John 7:16, Jesus answered the crowd, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me." And later, John records when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Jesus was in relationship. He took time to pray and to be with God. God wants that committed relationship with each of us. We must make our relationship a priority, and that way it means we have to have a high priority relationship. We need to give it our attention. How do we give our attention to God? Well, just like anything in our own lives, given attention, we need to really communicate. Communication is talking, yes, but it's also listening. When our kids or a spouse or a friend comes up to us and we're in the middle of something, maybe fixing dinner, maybe paying bills, whatever it is, we're in the middle of something. They come up and talk to us. We have a choice. We can stop what we're doing and give them our full attention. Or we can keep doing and sort of listen. Now, once in a while, there's something you can be stirring a pot and really listening. But often, most often, we need to stop and give full attention to that person who is important in our lives. God wants us to stop and give him attention and time. Think about a high-priority relationship. One that's important in your life with another person. I have many, but one comes to mind is my daughter, Jen. We love to sit and talk for hours. It's a little harder now. She has 3 girls running around, and now she lives in Texas. But we still steal minutes away any chance we get to share dreams, to share fears, joys, and disappointments. I called her this morning to be praying for us because I updated her last night. She grew up here. I called and said, "Pray for Mama too, that I can hold it together as I give the words God gave me." Sometimes we call to say, "Wow, I just saw an incredible sunset." Has anyone ever done that? I call her and we just say, "Wow, look at what God did." Sometimes that's the whole conversation, and sometimes it goes on and on. God wants us to spend that kind of time with him. So when I see that sunset, I just need to say, thank you, Jesus. Wow, you painted an incredible sunset for me right now. I needed that. In Robert Munger's book, My Heart, Christ's Home, he paints a beautiful picture of a relationship that Christ wants with us. Munger writes, Christ built a fire in the hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there was stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. Throughout the story, Munger tells about how God waits for us. Christ is waiting for us beside the hearth for us to come and spend time with him. King of the universe, waiting for us to spend time with him. When we give God that place of high priority, we can't hide behind a mask. I know, intellectually, we know God knows everything. But in our heart, we have to be honest and open and say, be able to tell him all those things. Yes, he knows, but he wants to hear us. He's sitting there waiting to talk with us. He wants to share with us. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to come to him more than at mealtime to say, thank you, Lord, bless this food. Or here's my list of things. Lord, this, I need help, 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 help. He wants to share deeper. He wants us to cry to him. He wants us to praise him. Like any relationship, the more we commit and risk, the greater the return in the depth of that relationship. The more important the relationship is, the more we open our hearts to one another and hide nothing, or if we're hiding something people question because they know us, God knows us. Don't hide. Come to him. Now, because I'm a teacher, I know there has to be that practical how-tos. So what are some things we can do to help with that relationship? Taking it further. Pray. Wasn't that what Tony said? Pray, pray, pray. Search scripture. Meditate, worship, Holy Communion. When living a life fully giving to Jesus, our prayer life is important. We begin to understand what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always. That's hard sometimes. Pray continually, not just when we're feeling stressed and concerned like now, but continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say we have to be thankful and excited, but we have to have a joy and a peace and a love that comes from him and go to him and say, God, he's a big God. He can let us cry on his shoulder. If it's not part of your life, how do you begin? Just start by having a little bit of time where you say, God, it's just going to be me and you. And then it will become more and more and more. The desire will become there. Prayer is a communication, so it involves listening. Psalm 37 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Right now, Sherry is waiting patiently. I know she's crying out to the Lord, as well as all of her family. We're crying out to the Lord as we wait. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So as we wait, we know he is God. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So right now, let's exalt him. Even in our hurt, let's exalt him. He is God. He wants us to listen to him. And how do we hear him? Sometimes it's through music, mostly, and sometimes through other people, but it's through his word. How many like to get a love letter? No one's raising their hand. Oh my gosh. I just got one. I got a little emoji. My granddaughter, 5-year-old, has her own little Facebook kids thing or whatever page. Anyway, she sent me this little thing saying, "Grandma, I love you." Makes me excited. I looked at it lots of times yesterday. When we get that love letter, whether it's from a child, a spouse, a good friend, often we read it and reread it, and we put it away and get it out and reread it. God's word is a love letter. It's his love letter to us. The more we read it, the more we learn about him and his love, and the closer we come to him. Where do you begin? Start with a passage that someone said's their favorite. Maybe it's Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Or Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17. For you created my inmost being. Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was hidden from you when I was in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord. How vast is the sum of them. Maybe it's Joshua 1:9. Now, this is a verse Tony challenged us quite a while ago to memorize. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God's words. We read them. We reread them. Lisa Tatluck, in her book, Becoming a Woman Who Pleases God, says, meditating simply means to reflect or to ponder, to fill our mind with God's word. So we read, we reread, waiting and listening what God has for us in those words. One part of our worship is that of our relationship is worship corporately, like we are gathered here, and individually, privately. In worship, we express our love and praise to God. The psalmist said very poetically, love the psalms, many songs are taken right out of them because those were songs. And today this might be hard to believe, but he tells us to shout for joy to the Lord. Why? Not because we're hurting, but because he is God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. He's provided miracles. He's going to provide more. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Worship is described as joy, shouting in joy, singing praise, giving thanks, entering his gates, coming to him. Through worship, we are reminded that who we are. Who are we? We're wonderfully created. by God. And whose we are. We are God's chosen one. Worship's not just an hour, but it's a lifestyle. Walking with God, being in awe of who He is and how He has called each of us. Listening to praise music when you're not here worshiping with others is a great way to fill you up and have you be ready to worship. A favorite praise song, it's not super popular, but it's one of my favorites, is "My prayer is," I can't sing that one, I'm sorry, my voice is really shot right now, is that my life would be an instrument of your love, instrument of your love and peace. Fill me up with you, Lord, so nothing else shines through. Jesus, have your way inside my heart. I surrender. I surrender. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I surrender. This is my plea. Have your way with me. And then it repeats that verse, and then it goes into a longtime hymn, old hymn many of us love, which is "I surrender all." And isn't that exactly what Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to surrender to Him. In worship, we also get to celebrate Holy Communion. We did that last week. A time to remember exactly what Jesus did for us. We're called to meditate on Him living with us on earth. Jesus walked on the earth with us. He did it so He could die on the cross, a painful death, so that we could be forgiven. And He did it because He loved us. In communion, we get to participate in the drama of forgiveness and thanksgiving. We eat bread, we drink from the cup as Christ instructed. In Luke 22:19, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them, saying, remember, this is the Last Supper, the last celebration before His death. "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took a cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now, for me, sometimes communion is a joyful celebration, a special time of remembering Christ's love and His forgiveness, and that gives me wholeness. But other times, it's a very somber time because I'm remembering Christ suffered because of my sins. But either way, it's an intimate time that God calls us to. It's me surrendering my heart to God. Jesus wants us to fully give our hearts to Him. He wants us to do it, and He doesn't call us to do it alone. He calls us to do it with each other. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, if one falls down, his friend can come and help him up. Right now, we are called to walk with the winner rounds through this time. We're called to walk with each other during this time. But even this is a scary time, we have promises to hold on to. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What's perfect love? God's love. It's not ours, it's God's love. Philemon 1:7, your love, God's love, has given me great joy and encouragement. So when we are told to pray, to be joyful always, it's not a happy, hoo-hoo. It's a joy. It's a deep joy that transcends all understanding that comes from God. And it's a whole lot better than happiness. It's the part that carries us through these trials. Dear brothers and sisters, as we live a life fully giving our hearts to God, we need to make our relationship with God one of high priority. We need to spend time with Him, giving individual attention with God. We need to be honest. We need to be sharing everything. We need to be willing to make that deep, deep, deeper commitment. We need to practice prayer and meditation and spiritual reading, worship and Holy Communion. Because if we're doing those things and we're building that relationship with God, then we can display God's love, God's courage, God's joyfulness in all our circumstances. I'd like to close with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that it may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hanford Press family, let's completely give our hearts to God. Let's be in an intimate relationship with Jesus, our Savior. Let's remember that Christ is sitting at that hearth, waiting for us to come. Tony challenged us to believe that God is a God of miracles even today. Let's believe. Let's surrender our hearts. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are God. That you are a God of miracles. Help us to believe that in our core of cores so that we can surrender to you. We can feel your joy. Lord, we do continue to just say, be with Tony and Sherry and Brooke and Bryce and Braden and his brother and the whole family. But Lord, we praise you because you are God. In Christ's precious name, amen.